Thank you very much indeed for the invitation to be here. It's absolutely brilliant to be thinking about this, which is an area I think I probably want to say that I've been on a journey myself. When I was thinking to myself about what's happened to research integrity in my lifetime, I think when I started off as a classicist, by the way, we got our notions of research integrity kind of by osmosis. I think one of the most important things that we learned research integrity about was from reviews, book reviews, which at that stage, 100 years ago, one of the most important aspects of the knowledge economy, much less so now. And that's quite interesting because we kind of understood that we put a lot of time as a senior academic into book reviews. We also got it from stories and sort of those apocryphal stories. So we knew that you had to be careful about the way that you did things from stories like the no doubt apocryphal tutorial, where the student stumbles through reading an essay and stops halfway through and says, "I'm so sorry, sir, I can't read this person's handwriting." How different it is now when we look at the framework which UKRI has, for instance, alongside the brilliant work of UK CORI, and I want to pay tribute to Andrew and Rachel and all the members of that committee for the work they've done. So we have our own policy on governance of good research practice, and that guidance forms part of our grant funding terms. We're a signatory to the UK Concordat to support research integrity that we've been hearing about. We are part of a Concordat working group that's looking to ask the research sector to participate in a consultation to shape revisions to the Concordat, which closes on the 22nd of July, and I've been told to say closes on the 22nd of July. Get your answers in. And there are a whole range of other things that we're doing, and obviously, out in the future is REF 2029 and the way that that will shape the ecosystem that we've already heard about. And we're also training people in a way that's rather more systematic than the one I've described for myself. For instance, the Future Leadership Fellows have an enormous amount of training and resources available to them, an annual conference which addresses issues of research integrity and open access, a session by the UK Research Integrity team represented here to discuss how to instill global confidence that UKRI-funded research is of high integrity and to identify efficient and robust indicators of all this. Now, I could spend the rest of my time adding more detail, but I was told to do two things. So one, less is more, and two, encourage a conversation. So here I'm going to go slightly off-piste. David's already mentioned one really fascinating axis of the conversation about reproducibility versus transparency. And we've also heard some of those classic comparative things. You know, what you do as a philosopher is not the same as what you'll do as a particle physicist. And I want just to think about whether that's entirely true. So one of the changes that has happened, I think, is that we've moved from a notion of research integrity to a notion of researcher integrity. And the integrity of a researcher, it seems to me, to be quite similar, whatever you're doing. And in fact, one of the things one might say about arts and humanities in particular is this, as it has become more of a team game rather than an individual game, it's had to learn researcher integrity in a new way. And I think that's very good for us. But I think there's something else, which is quite a lot of the time, what we do is we talk about research integrity of science. And it's sometimes the case that when we say science, we mean that very British Anglophone, very narrow version of science. And we've lost the notion of scientia, the broader notion of science. And that I think is really significant because actually, almost everything we've heard about how you do research integrity draws from the humanities. We talk about trust, we talk about honesty, we talk about openness, we talk about integrity. These are ethical concepts, if you like, that are about the way that you approach knowledge and information, and they're not necessarily owned by arts humanities. Certainly, they're not owned by science, but there may be a misalignment when you take humanities concepts like those and address them to science, or narrowly defined. And I'm interested about that because there's a question about what happens in the future when you take notions like individuality, personhood, trust, which are very humanity centered and work brilliantly for me when I'm writing my book, and you apply them to a world where the act, it is entirely likely that we should be citing our ChatGPT pilot on our articles. And what happens when we take those notions and put them together? Where's the problem? Where's the friction? And how do we resolve it? So I'm going to conclude. What's the future of research integrity? I'm going to be a bit challenging. I think that actually what we need to do is to hang on to that very broad notion of science. Because actually, one of the problems with the narrow version of science and thinking that that has a particular kind of integrity is that it misses its social context and it misses all the problems that those of us who look at knowledge and think epistemologically know underpin that idea that there is such a thing as a fact that is indisputable. So hanging on to the notion that science is really big and really complicated and involves lots of things might help us to actually tease out what isn't a straightforward thing. And here are a couple of last three things. First of all, we might need knowledge professionals to help us through this. One of the most trusted professions across the UK are librarians. Now, we must look after our librarians, I think, because they are our data noughts. We've got astronauts and so on and so forth. Librarians are our data noughts. They help us actually understand not just the data that's in front of you on the Excel spreadsheet, but they begin to unpack all of that information about how it got there, how it arrived at us, what the mechanism of arriving at that knowledge is. And the last thing I'm going to say, we mentioned meta-science. One of the things I find most striking about meta-science is that it ought to be a social science-informed enterprise. And actually, it very frequently isn't. And so I'm going to say what we need is more meta-humanists in meta-science to actually really land the message that science is something very complex that is constructed by us to talk about ourselves. That might help us understand research integrity in its fullness. Thank you.